Matt indicated he'd take some questions. If anyone would like to ask any questions, there's a microphone here and one at the back so that we can all hear. Please feel free to come up. Young fellow?
Excuse me, what do you think actually happened to the water? Do you have a theory of it, where it went?
Yes, lots of them, and they're almost all certainly wrong, but I'll give you some scenarios. The short answer is, what happened to all the water? First of all, how much water was there, and where is it? The estimates for the total volume of water on Mars are based on the amount of water needed to erode those catastrophic outflow channels. And those estimates would suggest a global layer of water between tens of meters to hundreds of meters, in fact, even kilometers thickness on the surface of Mars. So we think Mars is a water-rich planet, first of all. What happened to this water as it coursed through and formed these catastrophic outflow channels? And there are two ideas. One is that these channels were interspersed with time, and once one of these outflow channels occurred, the water simply froze in place in the northern lowlands and froze out and became part of the geologic record. Others would suggest that these outflow channels occurred contemporaneously and thus fed a northern ocean, which actually could have existed at that time. What happened to all the water, all of this volume in the long term? It's certainly not liquid on the surface. If the early environment was water in winter, you need to make it much colder and drier. Where'd that water go? We believe there are a variety of reservoirs for the water on Mars. One is that you have frozen ground ice, evidence from what we call splash craters, which look like craters that have impacted an ice-rich crust, and fluid has actually flown out of the crater and flowed across the surface. Others, we know that spectroscopically, there's ice in the northern poles of Mars, and we believe that those rusty weathering products could be a place where water is gone. So what happened? Imagine all this water around. Imagine water vapor in the atmosphere being disassociated by UV radiation, the hydrogen, in fact, being carried off, the climate getting a little bit colder, the water freezing into the crust, and thus getting the cold, dry environment. Those are some possibilities, but we certainly don't know the actual answer.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I was wondering, some people say that Earth's been coming overpopulated with humans, and I was wondering, where would we go first? Would we try and make the deserts on this planet fertile, or would we look for another place where it might be easier to set up biological places for humans to live?
Sure, sure. The idea has been suggested, in fact, that we could terraform Mars. I mean, everything you need to support life exists on Mars. There's abundant water. There's plenty of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen. It's all there. It's just a wee bit cold right now. So if you could try to warm it up, maybe you could get, you know, kind of a winter home for the Earth. How would you do that? And there have been suggestions. One is to send our air conditioners and refrigerators to Mars, okay? Send parts per billion chlorofluorocarbons, greenhouse gases, to Mars to, over time, slowly try to warm it up. Other suggestions, big solar panels out in space that would beam more heat from the sun onto the surface and slowly try to warm it up. Now, there's really moral questions about whether we should do that. You know, we kind of buggered up the Earth, and now we'll go bugger up Mars. So I don't know. You have to deal with that on your own. But I will say that Mars is the only planet that you would attempt such a thing. The other, you know, the Moon and Mercury are airless bodies, no atmosphere, forget it, not a chance. Venus would be, you know, lead would be liquid on the surface. It's too hot. There's nothing you're going to do there. So Mars is our future if you think about it in that way. The alternate of that is if you believe that life could have gotten started on Mars and it was warmer and wetter early on, maybe, in fact, life started on Mars and came to the Earth. Maybe, in fact, we're all Martians already.
I heard there were photos of pyramids on Mars.
Yes, people have vivid imaginations when they look at pictures.
Seeing as you found more silica in the rocks on Mars than you expected, does that mean that it's possible that silicate minerals like quartz could have formed and you go there and get them?
I'm afraid I didn't quite understand the question.
Saying that there was more silica on Mars than you expected, does that mean that silicate minerals would have formed?
Like yeah, quartz? I mean, most rocks are silicates. Yeah, they're like, SiO2 silica, and a variety
like
of other things.
Crystals and things.
The rocks on Mars are probably not that different from the rocks on the Earth. Silicates form in standard stable ways. The oxygen and the SiO, they like to form in particular ways with iron and magnesium and other rock-forming minerals. To anyone untrained, a rock from the moon looks the same as a rock from the Earth. It's not likely the rocks on Mars are fundamentally different in that regard.
One or two more questions, sir.
Dr. Gollenbuck, first of all, thank you very much for a very informative and entertaining lecture. It's been quite an eye-opener what you've actually found up there on Mars. But my question is probably a little bit different to what we've heard tonight. Is there any detection at all of any toxic rock forms or mineral forms or gas forms in the analysis that have been done up so far?
There's no evidence that there's unusual materials in significant concentrations of the materials that we measured on Mars that would indicate any toxicity. Certainly there was no unusual reaction with any of the materials on the surface of Mars that we placed. There is a chance that some of the soil could be oxidizing, could be peroxide, superoxidizing, and might be slightly erosive to materials, but not toxic in that regard.
Well, in that case, the field's sort of wide open for us Earthlings to sort of get up there and see what we can do in the way of polluting it.
Certainly, when you send, there are guidelines that require the spacecraft to be clean when they go there. Prior to actually returning samples to the Earth, you don't want to go and infect it with Earth things. So we had to have an ultra-clean spacecraft. The Viking spacecraft were, in fact, heat-sterilized. Ours was quite clean as well. Now, once you send people, all bets are off. You've already polluted the heck out of Mars. You know, E. coli running around, it's a mess. So it's important to keep it clean until you've returned a variety of samples to really test them in a clean environment here on the Earth and you haven't infected them with things. Once you send people, forget it, it's all off.
Well, thank you very much for those answers, and sounds like it's pretty good shape up there.
Okay, we'll take one more question.
Yes, we have a speakers forum outside the State Library every Sunday afternoon here in Melbourne. One of the regular debates is about whether life evolved once or more than once and whether we're special or just one of a lot. Could you give us an idea of your own personal opinion, not the company line, and how long will it be before a real geologist goes to Mars?
Well, I object to your not thinking of Sojourner as a real geologist. That was clearly our offspring, and we trained her very well. I don't have a company line. I don't know whether life would have formed in other places that liquid water is stable. I do believe that is a horribly compelling question to try to answer, and I'm all for a program that would try to go in about answering something like that. The question about when we send people to Mars is not a scientific question, so I'll say I'm horribly unqualified to answer it. It's a political question. I don't think there's much of a question that we have the technology and the skill and the ability to send people to Mars, in fact, now or very soon. There's no question it would be a bit of a perilous journey. You're looking about 3 years in space, 7 months, 9 months there, a year on the surface, 7 or 9 months back, and there are significant things that we would have to overcome. But to first order, it doesn't look like we couldn't do that. The one thing that is quite clear right now is that the price tag would be extreme. Estimates right now are in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And so the real question is, you know, when are we going to go and who's going to put up the money? and that I can't answer. Clearly, we did not go to the moon to learn about rocks. We went there, the U.S., we in this case, to in fact make a political statement that we were technologically superior to the Russians. And whether or not something like that is required to send people to Mars, I don't know. I do believe, however, that sooner or later people will go to Mars. I mean, it's there. The technology will improve. The costs will come down. Sooner or later, people will want to go to the Red Planet. And all I do hope is that when it does occur, that we're all there to watch that event, because that would be something that none of us would ever forget.
Could I leave the questions there? And you, young fellow, are the first cab off the rank. Matt will be out in the foyer, and he'll answer your questions there. And we've got a free poster signed by Matt just for you.